A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." He answered, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." Jesus answered him, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. This reading is full of references to things that are somewhat obscure and requires a good deal of thought and reflection, but let me try to put it into a broad context. In a sense, it's a kind of an example of the New Testament recruiting that Jesus had to do as he began his ministry. There isn't a moment in the media that we're not being recruited for something, to go somewhere, to do something, to pay something, to eat something, buy something, whatever it is. We're constantly being recruited, and in a sense, at least for me, in the midst of all that recruitment, I feel a sense of ambiguity. I'm not quite sure what they mean. I'm not quite sure what it'll mean for me. I'm not quite sure what I have to do. Jesus begins his ministry in an absolutely unambiguous way. He says clearly and absolutely what it is he wants. He tells them, first of all, that I've given you the invitation, and I'm glad you're willing to accept, but remember, this is going to cost you, and it's going to cost you a tremendous amount in terms of your own freedom, your own comfort, and sometimes your own priorities and values. I'm asking for a total, complete change that will allow you to make a total and a complete commitment. There's no real stability. You're not even going to have an address. Imagine if we said something like that today, it would be almost like saying, no cell phone. You're going to be unsure about the future. You're going to go places where you hadn't expected to go. You're going to have to be able at some point to deal with the fact that your most important relationships are going to shift. They will not be the normal kinds of relationships people have. Jesus expects you to have one relationship through which you then channel all of the rest of your energy. That relationship is obedience to him. We're not supposed to be worried about the future. We're not supposed to be worried about any kinds of things that would normally get in the way. Our planning lists, our to-do lists, or our bucket lists, as we say these days, will be filled somehow by someone else. Very difficult, and yet, as they heard this, we hear it, asked us in the same way. And there's no simple way to respond to that. In fact, I don't think there's any natural way to respond to that. It takes something else that pushes us over the line, where our expectations about stability and control and the rest of things that are so we hold so important today are going to be shoved aside by this complete and absolute commitment to the person of Jesus and to his teaching. Not only are we going to be committed to that teaching and to that person, we're committed to work with him in proposing to others the same kind of thing that's proposed to us. And without some kind of divine assistance, grace, there isn't any way for us to comfortably make that kind of decision. Now, throughout, even though we have grace to back us up and we have the very specific and unambiguous call from Jesus, we still have doubts, we still have fears, we still have reservations. And what he does in order to help us with that is to give us to one another. He doesn't just call me to do all of this work or just call you. He calls all of us. And he calls us in baptism, and he calls us into a community that has heard that same essential invitation and has read the same job description. And if we can find ourselves able to make that initial commitment, understand what it is, and only then understand what it is, can we go out and work. Only then can we go out and preach the good news. Only then can we go out and re-offer that commitment, that offer of commitment, re-offer that challenge, re-offer that invitation in the name of God through Jesus Christ. That's what this whole New Testament story is about. The Jesus story that tells us we are a part of a mission, and that mission is to renew the world with hope, with faith, and most of all with charity. And we do that if we follow Jesus. We walk with him where he walks. We go with him where he goes. We do what he asks us to do, and we depend on him. We depend on one another and the power of the gospel to be both happy and effective. So on this wonderful feast of St. Teresa, as we begin some important moments in the life of the church, that question of trust needs to come up, and we have to reaffirm our commitment and our response to that invitation that Jesus made. Come and follow me, and don't do anything else except come and follow me. The presumption is, since the scripture doesn't say it right there, is those people said yes. And at least some of them said yes. Well, that's true of us as well. You and I come here and celebrate Eucharist together. And what we do in that Eucharist is say, thank you, Lord, for the invitation. And yes, I graciously accept.